Dermot and Dave, weekdays from 9 a.m.
Today FM.
Oh, how modern! How modern of the music.
What? That's like from 2009.
Yeah, but like, can you not have something a little bit more intellectual? Considering I'm a writer now, Dave.
Oh, Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dermot and Dave Show on Today FM. This man here. Oh,
that's more like it.
He is now. Today is the day. Dermot Whelan is now a published author. Everything up to this point has been pre-order, but now today, it's in the shops, which are closed. No, Easton's
I timed
open.
It perfectly. Someday I will write a book, and I will do it at the one time in history when the bookshops are closed. Thank God for the internet.
We are going to do Ask Me Anything later on today on the radio at 10:30 with an author, a first-time author.
Do you mind, can we call it wireless, please? We're doing it on the wireless.
On the wireless, yes. Yeah, sure, we can do that. You seem to have changed your personality slightly.
Well, it's just, it happens to one when one writes a book, David. David Moore.
I see, I didn't realise.
Yeah.
Okay, well I should, if you want me to call it the wireless, I should call it the wireless. Later on,
look,
on the wireless.
I don't mind, you know. For you, the whole thing must seem very Fanchaluness.
I'm sorry. What?
Sorry. Have you not noticed my vocabulary has changed? I may use words that you don't understand because you're not a writer.
Fanchaluness. Oh, it's changing even now from the last time you said it.
Language develops, Dave, and you have to be on the curve of it, David.
If you have a question for first-time author Dermot Whelan, what it's like to have that idea in your head and get the idea out onto that page and see it in the show. Any question you have for an author, get them in on 087-4100-102. I guarantee you they will be poorly answered by our guest. But please, throw them into us on 087-4100-102.
Can you turn up my gramophone there for
Sorry,
one moment?
Yes,
just
want to yes,
see.
Yeah.
Just want to check something. Turn it up. Ah, yes. That's since...
Sorry, what?
That's Vivarachi's Third Symphony.
Is it?
Yes. Oh, hang on, sorry. I better take this. What I took the liberty of putting a house phone. I'm putting a house phone in here.
What the hell is going on?
Hello? Yeah. Well, are you sure? I don't think Harry would do that. I would say let Dumbledore give him the crystal. Yeah, okay, no problem, my pleasure. Sorry, as JK.
She's crazy on the phone. It's not going to last very long. You keep doing that.
That's JK.
JK
calling me.
Just, on the phone.
You look, writers, we talk to each other. She's looking for advice on the next book.
Oh, is she?
A certain Mr. Potter. Yes, she calls me up. So Dumbledore will be giving Harry the crystal.
So Harry Potter and the Crystal Maze. Is it? Trying to get out of a Channel 4
Harry
game
Potter
show.
And the Crystal Meth.
Oh, even. Come on.
Yeah, hold on. I better take this.
Okay.
Hello? Ah, Stephen King. Yes, how are you? Yes, I'm well. I see, you're stuck. Yeah. How about, I mean, a lot of people tend to get killed in showers. How about the shower kill someone in the book? Yeah, make the shower the murderer. Okay, my pleasure.
Her phone was not going to survive.
Stephen King there, obviously. He's running out of ideas. He's got to come to the new, fresh...
Oh, I see. You're a fresh mind talent. In the
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh.
What the hell is that?
It's my telex machine.
A telex machine?
I'm just getting the ratings in from the book sales, you see.
Oh, I see.
Yes, people are flocking to the shops that are closed. Hold on. Oh, I'm going up the charts.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. I'm just behind Dermot Gavin.
Does he have a book? I don't even know.
No. He's many books.
Look, here's the thing. Dermot Whelan, the actual, not this, I don't know, patched elbow version of Dermot Whelan. The real Dermot Whelan is going to answer your questions for Ask Me Anything about writing a book.
Say stuff that sees the music.
Say stop. That suits the music.
Okay, here's how Say Stuff That Suits the Music works. I'm Dave. I'll play pieces of music to Dermot, and Dermot will say stuff off the top of his head he thinks suit those pieces of music. Are you ready?
Taking a sip of coffee.
Get a little bit of caffeine in you just before you go.
I need that jolt. Okay, go.
Hello.
Hi, Jimmy Benton here. Just to remind you of my jazz show tonight. Kicking off at 8 o'clock with the deep, sweet sounds of the jazz greats like Bobby LaRue, Tennis McGonigal, and Sticky Buns McCardigal. That's Jazz Hour tonight. Remember, if you don't like jazz, you're an absolute pain in the neck. Jazz. Oh, that night by the beach, you were looking so beautiful. I was lost in your eyes. And then you walked into the water. I could have watched you in the moonlight for hours, but you never came back.
This was a water safety announcement on behalf of Antonio Banderas and El Diablo Wines.
Christ of mercy. Lord of mercy. Christ of mercy. Lord of mercy.
Thanks to Pauline there. Now, the first reading.
All right. Actor Liam Cunningham here. I was in Game of Thrones. I want to tell you about the day on the set of Game of Thrones when a dragon flew in and killed everyone, burnt them alive. It was a sad day on Game of Thrones. I'm Liam Cunningham.
This is the 1980s when even children smoked fags. And everyone had cavities in their teeth. And television stopped at 9 o'clock. And dinner consisted of Findus crispy pancakes and a bottle of Malibu. 80s.
Tonight on Primetime Investigates, satanic worship behind the gates of Leinster House.
I'm Willie O'Neill, and I love The Exorcist. Tis class.
I did sacrifice a goat. I spoke about it in Hot Press at length 10 years ago.
And I wasn't drinking blood. Twas a pint of Schmittix, although the blood probably would have tasted better.
Dermot and Dave.
Hey, Dermot, thanks for having us on the show.
Take us back to that ill-fated day in 2004, which I'm sure it happened so long ago. Maybe I'm talking quite flippantly about it, but I'm sure it was something that stays with you for the rest of your days. What was happening that day? Take us up to the moment where it happened. Where were you and what was going on?
Yeah, so basically like any J1 student, rites of passage, I wanted to go to America with my friends, and I was living in South Boston of all places. Working on the building site, and it was leading up to July 4th weekend, and there was just a ladder on the balcony, and the ladder started to move, and there was kids playing in like a pool from the house next door we were renovating. So I was kind of more thinking that if the ladder fell off the balcony, it would hurt the kids. And as I went out to grab the balcony, lightning struck, and the term a bolt from the blue is when lightning strikes on a sunny day. So the lightning hit my right hand, went through my body, irked my left foot, and then, I woke up in the Boston Medical Center.
And do you remember the moment of impact?
Oh, yeah, it hurt. It hurt like you wouldn't believe. This idea that it was a beautiful transition, what a load of. It was painful. My skin burned from the inside out because the heat of the lightning. Yeah, so, I've got scars of my body, and I'd call them scars of pride. But yeah, did it hurt? Yeah, it hurt a lot.
And did people around you know what had happened to you when you suddenly hit the deck?
There was a loud bang, and then there was my friends who were building a few houses down had come down, and then I was back a few feet in the apartment, and obviously my clothes had torched, and I was singed you see in a cartoon, like Sonic. But I don't think we realized what was going on or what had actually happened. It was not until I got to the hospital And then when they started to do checks on me, and then they realized I was struck by lightning. And I was in shock. But when they started to like touch my feet or my hands, I couldn't feel them. And I didn't think anything of it at the time. But then my body started to shut down very quick. And what happens is you start to think about things that you wanted to do or the things that you wanted to say and the time difference. So my best friend, Stephen, was with me at the time. And I just told him that I like, love my parents, love my family. Don't ring them yet, ring them in the morning. And then all of a sudden, my lights went out. And then I woke up in an intensive care unit in Boston.
So you were still conscious after you got hit by lightning. You didn't go straight into a coma. You were still injured but conscious, were you?
Injured but conscious. The truth of the story was that the builders brought me back to my apartment. I still had the mood. They picked me up. They bought a few cans in the off license and they got a straw. This is a true story. They got a straw because I had alcohol and cigarettes in my system because, you know, they do tests with you. So it wasn't until the girls I lived with were like, we have to get to a hospital because they could see that my boots had melted. And then we jumped into a taxi to the hospital. And then a few hours later, I was in a coma.
And why did the builders take you back to your apartment and give you booze?
I tell you what it was. They heard the loud bang. I'm on the floor, a bit frazzled, can't move. I could talk, but I couldn't move. So they picked me up, carried me down the stairs. I was still cognitive. I was still able to talk. But it wasn't until we got back to the apartment that I actually couldn't move. And when the girls realized I couldn't move and what had happened, because everyone, you know, you say you were hit by lightning, that's one thing. Mm. But all of a sudden, I physically couldn't move. You know, my body underneath my clothes had burnt, and then they brought me straight to hospital. And that's when we were all joking about it, but I realized that I felt like I was leaving this place we call Earth.
Wow.
And that's when I only started to panic, when it wasn't a joke, and it wasn't a banter, and it wasn't the crack with the lads for July 4 weekend. I couldn't move from the neck down, and I was slowly, I could feel myself slipping away. And that's when I think it went from a joke to, okay, I'm not going to be here.
And so you drifted into a coma then. Did anybody get to notify your family back at home as to what had happened and just how serious everything had gone?
Yeah, well, my friend, God love him, Stephen, he waited. My godparents at the time, they lived in Florida, my American godparents. So he rang them first because of the time difference. We were in Boston. And then we rang my parents, I'd say, about maybe 6 o'clock in the morning.
Mm.
So I think the hardest thing I've ever felt was the guilt from my parents to get a phone call about your son or your daughter to say, you know, I'll never forget that moment as long as I live, because they got a phone call from the head of neurology in the Boston Medical Center to say, look, we don't think your son's going to make it. And they're in a different country. And that's the guilt that stays with me for the rest of my life, to be honest with you, is because they relived that moment to be trapped in a different country and to be helpless, by the way, until they could get over to see me. Because when they landed in Boston, they didn't know whether I was going to be alive or dead. And I think that was something that stays with me for the rest of my life.
But isn't it strange that, you know, even though you were clearly suffering, you'd been through a horrific ordeal, but your feeling is guilt, even though it's you had no control over it, but you were still feeling guilty about what you'd put your parents through.
Yeah, I would call that the old Irish guilt. But the one thing I will say to you, Dermot, is that you have to have a sense of humour. And I think it was humour that saved my life, to be honest.
In Euro this Friday coming.
Want to play the game? You know I love this game, Dave. I have a load of stuff with writing, like a newspaper in front of me.
Yeah.
And then I randomly point
your finger.
And then that represents either the weekend or the rest of your life.
Let's go weekend. Let's just keep it simple. Okay. So spin your finger around and around and around. Go.
Positivity.
Hey, that's me in a nutshell, guys.
Maria, would you like one?
Yeah, please.
Mammy.
You're just making them up now at this stage.
No, that was real.
Well, do yourself.
Emer.
Go for it.
I went back.
You're just going to be late for Moraine's show. Like, come on, let's go. What do you got?
One for myself.
Yeah, go, go.
Member.
Okay.
Whoops.
We're out of here. Moraine Ronald's up next. Have a cracking weekend.
Dermot and Dave.
Look, it's 10:30 on a Thursday. That can only mean one thing. A visit from our favourite Limerick chocolates that our Noni's in.
How are you, Kate?
How are you doing?
I'm all right.
Yeah, why only all right?
I'm very sad. There's someone very close to me who's leaving.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, I haven't been this disappointed now since the changed Marotta boost.
that was a dark day in fairness. And now you can't even...
Terrible day for sure.
Yeah, you can't get them anywhere. So what's going... So you said you've written a song.
I sat down, I got out the tin whistle.
Oh, wow.
The broken piano. And I started writing a song.
Okay, well, you'll have to tell everybody what's going on.
CJ Stander. What a legend of Munster rugby. An Irish rugby.
Yeah.
A big man from South Africa. He's like a big hunk of meat. And he's leaving, he's going home.
He is. I presume you're not sad because of the contribution he made to Munster rugby and Irish rugby. You're sad because he used to buy so much chocolate out of your brand.
Listen, he needs absolute boxes, a selection boxes of chocolate right. flying out of the pram. So I had to write him a song to say how much I'll miss him.
That's a beautiful thing to do.
Let's do it.
Okay. Oh!
You ready, Kate?
I like it.
This is for you, CJ. He came down to Munster 9 years ago. He told South Africa, I gotta go. He said, I wanna live in Limerick with my new four friends and play rugby in the drizzle and live in a housing estate. You put him in his number 8 in Munster Red. He started running into people with his head. He won man of the match 500 times and taught little Conor Murray to speak Afrikaans. He's here for CJ Stander. A boy, a boy, a boy, a kid. You did Munster proud. We won't forget the things he did.
CJ Stander with a second try.
CJ Stander is going back to the farm. He can lift 300 Frisian heifers with just one arm. CJ Stander. CJ Stander. I tell you, Mr. Chitten Hunting Donkey Forts, you won't be buying all my chocolate anymore. We'll miss your big smile and your happy head, but if you ever sign for Leinster, you'll be dead to us.
Come on.
Let's hear it for CJ Stander.
Away, 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 the kid.
You did all of Ireland proud. We won't forget the things you did.
This is from the bottom of my heart. Thank you very much.
CJ Stander, it's time to go and milk your cows. Just promise us you'll still say decent, rapid and gold. CJ Stander. CJ Stander. Don't go, CJ. You're a pure beauty.
Dermot and Dave. Dermot and Dave. Weekdays from 9 a.m.
Today FM.